Right now, there's not much at the future home of the Hunts Point Riverside Park on the Bronx River. It's just above where it empties into the Sound. There's swirling dust, which quickly fills your shoes and gets underneath your clothes. But to Majora Carter, the director of Sustainable South Bronx, this sliver of a park is a jewel.
Because it's actually kind of pretty down here.
Carter got a seed grant, which she leveraged into $20 million to build the park in this former junkyard, sandwiched between a recycling facility and the Hunts Point food market.
Wow, oh, I never noticed this before. This is new. This is really exciting. We actually have a dock, a floating dock. This was such a mess before. You just cannot understand what this place used to look like.
The park is at the end of a spit of land that runs from the Bruckner Expressway down to the food market. But it's dense. There are 12,000 people living here. By summer, Carter hopes, some of them will be launching kayaks from this dock. For her, that's not just a pleasant thought. Advocates of the poor used to only focus on things like housing or schools or jobs. And Carter thinks those things are important, too. It's just that she sees parks as a prerequisite for all those other things to happen.
Because you gotta make it friendlier for people to feel as though they're a part of a city. And if you make it unfriendly, you know, for them, then no, they'd retreat into their homes. And you can't build a community from inside your house. You just can't.
Carter grew up here, and for her work fighting pollution, she won a MacArthur Genius Grant. But reinforcement for the idea that she needed to do more came thousands of miles away, in Bogota, Colombia. She was on a tour, standing in a small plaza with a fountain running through it. And her tour guide told her a few years earlier he never would have come to that part of town.
Because it was so dangerous, because it was so drug infested. And now, you know, of course I'm coming here. And I was just like, you know what, that is exactly what I want to hear folks in my neighborhood saying.
In Bogota, Carter saw dozens of miles of bikeways. Hillsides, once strewn with rubble, became neat stairways with benches and flowering trees. All of this was constructed during the single 3-year term of Enrique Peñalosa, the former mayor of Bogota.
The only place where we really are a society, the only place where we are a society of equals, the only place where we really say it belongs to us as a nation, is public pedestrian space.
In Bogota, Peñalosa bucked the accepted wisdom that more highways and roads for cars would bring economic health to his city. He jettisoned a plan to build an elevated beltway around Bogota. Instead, he spent the money on paved bikeways, sports facilities, and parks. Cars drive in the mud. Since leaving office, he was term limited out, Peñalosa has been traveling the world, spreading his gospel to cities like Jakarta, Dar es Salaam, and Mexico City. Not long ago, he met with community groups in the South Bronx.
The least of the least that a democratic society should have is quality pedestrian space for people at least to be able to go out and walk and see their city. So these things are not some sort of luxury. This is the beginning of a compensation for the enormous inequality that there is in society.
Walter Hook agrees. Hook directs the Institute for Transportation and Development Policy, a group that helps third world cities install sustainable transit systems. He visited Peñalosa when he was mayor of Bogota.
What's astonishing about this is not only has it brought down the crime rates in the low-income communities because the kids actually have a place to play. If you go through these neighborhoods, you feel totally safe. The kids will come running out in the street. They all recognize Peñalosa. They're like, "Hi, Mr. Peñalosa." You know, they all know the guy.
In Bogota, Hook says, Peñalosa took him on a helicopter ride to tour the bike highways called Alamedas.
And he flies us up in the air, and he flies us over the city of Bogota, and he goes, there. You see that bike lane? It's 50 kilometers. I built that. He goes, look at that. You see that? That used to be a garbage dump. Now look at it. It's a beautiful park. He goes, look at this. Look at these Alamedas. They go 20 kilometers into the countryside.
Today, there's housing and businesses along the Alamedas. In Bogota now, neighborhoods for the poor are planned. And this is exactly the kind of transformation that South Bronx groups are hoping to emulate. Members of the Southern Bronx River Watershed Alliance invited Peñalosa to come and visit, and they took him on a bike tour, darting between trucks and past chop shops and waste treatment plants. He critiqued their plan.
I would not put these trees like here in the middle of the sidewalk like this, you know. Mm-hmm. And here, it needs a very physical protection for cyclists.
As in most of New York City, there's no barrier between the bike lane and traffic.
I mean, so because you would not send your child along here.
The tour continued around Hunts Point and up to an overlook near the Sheridan Expressway. The idea of reclaiming automobile space for pedestrians is an about-face for the Bronx. But it's being taken very seriously by people like Joan Byron, a planner from the Pratt Institute for Community Development.
The place where we're standing right now could be the best example, or it could become the worst example.
Byron and the others want to tear down the Sheridan Expressway and build affordable housing and a park right down to the Bronx River. The State Department of Transportation has been planning a bigger interchange.
If the interchange is placed here, it will cut off people from the waterfront even more than they already are, and it will compromise and undermine everything that both the community and the city have been trying to achieve.
Byron says the mile and a quarter expressway is little used and is a barrier between three schools and several small baseball fields on the river. Neither the state nor the city has ruled out tearing it down.
As these herons were learning to fly...
There's a story Enrique Peñalosa likes to tell when he speaks in front of audiences about a flock of birds on a swamp in Brazil. If the young birds learning to fly accidentally drop into the swamp, they're devoured by crocodiles. He compares the herons to children in most cities today.
That's exactly the same predicament our children face. They grow in terror of being killed. And we have come to think this is totally normal.
Creating more green space is an idea that's found a receptive ear in the Bloomberg administration. Deputy Mayor Dan Doktoroff says in poor neighborhoods like the South Bronx, it's the city's obligation to pay for the upkeep of parks. Doktoroff, a bike rider himself, says he was impressed after a recent New York City Hall meeting with Peñalosa.
The former mayor of Bogota, who in a very short period of time managed to achieve something that nobody ever would have thought possible, which is a dramatic improvement in sort of the pedestrian usage of the city. And I think it's an excellent example for us.
Back over across the street from the future Hunts Point Riverside Park, there's a small bakery selling cakes and rolls to a line of truck drivers passing through. But much of the time, says manager William Bonilla, it's pretty dead. He's counting on the park to liven up his business. He says he thinks a lot of people are going to come in the summer because now on the weekends they don't have anything to do. So they'll come to the park and have a good time and buy his cakes and coffee. That's exactly what planners like Majora Carter and Enrique Peñalosa expect will happen. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.